Greetings, one in Jesus' precious name this morning. It is good to be in the house of God and to be refreshed in the things of the kingdom. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to read a few verses there before I give the title of the message. This title was suggested to me probably 10 years ago. I don't know. It has come into my mind on and off, and I don't know, about a year ago or so, I was thinking about the subject again, and it had gone so long that I thought it was my own idea until I was reminded somewhere along the line that it had been suggested. So this was a suggested message, and just putting a plug in for that, if you all have suggestions that you would like us to, subjects you would like us to preach on, we'll at least consider that. I always hate to make a promise that we'll preach it, but we would at least consider that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 9 through 12. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. The title is taken from verse 11 and simply is, mind your own business. Mind your own business. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind first. One of the first things that comes to my mind is, and you may remember, as I do, using this term as a child. It was mostly fired as a warning shot at someone whom we consider was meddling in our business, even if we were misbehaving. For example, Dad may have said to not do this or that, and we were doing that very thing or considering it anyhow. And another sibling says, I'll tell Dad on you, and we fired back, mind your own business. There was different terms that we used. Now it sounds like we use it all the time, but I heard mind your own beeswax. There's different terminology we used. We use it as a defense term. And that's not exactly what this means in Scripture. In fact, it's not what it means. Mind your own business. It's interesting to me that Scripture has this directive in it. And there's more given in the negative, and we're going to look at those terms, busybodies in other men's matters. And so it is a concern of Scripture for some reason as a directive. I think the term busybody is used about 3 or 4 times. And we'd like to look at those. I'd like to start with a word study so we kind of know where we're going. The thing that I found difficult in this subject is that we can find the term, we can find the directive, but there's not a lot of details as to how to fulfill that directive. And in my opinion, when we come to subjects like that, where the details are not given, we need to fall back to the scope of Scripture and the scope of Christianity, the scope of Christian life, where we enter in the fruits of the Spirit. We enter in the principles of Christianity. We enter in the principles of brotherhood. We enter in the golden rule. And there's where we find our way in subjects that Scripture does not give specific details to. In other words, in 1 Thessalonians here, it is speaking in the context of loving the brethren. And it's given and we'll get into that. It's concerning relationships. It's concerning about love. But when it comes to verse 11, it says just study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands. And so it's more of a general package that it's giving us, not a lot of details. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. We'd like to look now at the times the word busybody is used in Scripture. To establish a scriptural basis for the subject. Reading 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Here it's in the context of, as a Christian, you don't want to suffer because of wrongdoing. And a part of the list of wrongdoing is being a busybody in other men's matters. He said, you don't want that on your record that you're suffering for that. Let none of you suffer as these things. And it's also attention getting that it's in the list of murderer, thief, evildoer, busybody. It's an interesting list. So the other things, busybody maybe we don't think is quite as intense of a term or as bad as a term, but it's listed together there. So it does give us a bit of a context of the seriousness of this matter. Now, the other thing I found interesting, and it almost made me abort this subject, was that the instances in which the word busybody or busybodies is used in Scripture, almost every one comes from a different Greek word or has a different Greek meaning one from another. You cannot read busybody as you go through Scripture and they all mean the same thing, which made it more difficult. This one is number 244 in the concordance. And it simply means overseeing another's affairs. And it said, especially in Gentile customs, a meddler. And so as I would understand it, it had to do, a busybody in 1 Peter chapter 4 here, has to do with people that were trying to oversee other Christians in the church, especially had to do with Gentile customs. They were forcing themselves into people's lives, trying to tell them what to do, would be my understanding. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verses 10 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. This comes in the concordances number 4020. And it means to work all around, such as bustle about, to meddle, and simply busybody in other men's matters. So it's a busy person, but busy in other people's matters more than in matters of their own. It says here that these people were working not at all. We're going to touch on that later. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I think we have two more, this one and another one. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Again, catching up with the word busybodies here. Again, it's in the context of people being idle, not doing their own things, but doing the things of others. But again, this one in the concordance is number 4021. It is a bit different meaning, and it's close, but it says to work all around, such as officious, and that was a new word to me. We'll catch up with that. Meddlesome, busybody. Also in this definition, it had the term curious arts. So they're related, but they do have different angles to them. And different definitions. Officious, let's look at that word. Officious, what is officious? Officious means to be objectionably aggressive in offering one's unwanted services, help, or advice, marked by proceeding from such forwardness. In other words, a person that just smothers you with, they think you need help, and so they are there, and whether it's advice, whether it's, they just jump in. Said, that's what officious means. Objectionably aggressive in offering one's unwanted services, help, or advice. Go to Acts 19. This one here catches me off guard a bit. I'm not sure how to weave it in. Acts chapter 19. Verses 18 through 20. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You don't find the word busybody, do you? But what did I say about the last one in 1 Timothy 5, verse 13? A part of that definition is curious arts. And interestingly enough, this term curious arts in verse 19 is exactly number 4021, the same as the word busybody in 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. Exactly the same word. And I don't know what to do with that other than it would seem to me that these people were offering their curious arts, their services, I believe the curious arts has to do with magic or that's not quite the right word I want, but in down that term, the curious arts of things that don't make sense, whether it's magic or so on, and they were offering these services in a officious way. They were objectionably aggressive in offering those services. I would love to have a discussion on that, but that's where I put it. But just interesting word study on that. Okay, going on into the message itself, leaving the word study. We do find that the Bible speaks against being a busybody, and it teaches to mind our own business. And so the first area of the message I'd like to look at is general principles concerning busybodies. What's the general principles that that the word is teaching us? Again, whenever the details are not given, we must go to the scope of Scripture and try our best to understand the principles of Christianity, the fruits of the Spirit, and how does this relate to this subject. So what is, number one, what is the purpose or concern of this teaching? It's taught in Scripture. It's given as a directive to the church and to different people groups as we looked at the words where they were used in Scripture. What is the purpose or concern of this teaching? There's obviously something there, or it wouldn't be written down. There's a purpose for it in Scripture. It would seem the problem of being a busybody in other men's matters is largely in the realm of verbal. However, it does include involving ourselves or being where we're uninvited. So the purpose of concern is, I believe, keeping honorable relationships. I believe that's the concern. God is concerned about the relationships in the congregation of believers. He wants good relationships. And this word, go back to the word officious, this objectionably aggressive in offering one's unwanted services or help or advice, it is a strain, it is a stress on relationships. And so God is giving us directives in Scripture to pull back from that so that our relationships are honorable, our relationships are good. Each person in the church is to be honored. It's especially true in the church. Folks are not to become objects to be run over, verbally dissected, or gossiped about. And that was another thought that I found. It says that it gave the thought that gossip and rumors often follow unchecked nosiness. Nosiness is another word we use sometimes. You're being nosy or so on. So gossip and rumors often follow that. And one of the ways to check ourselves, I think, in this, a very practical way, is to think about how quickly we want to pass on the information that we just received. It just, you know, whether it just burns in you and you just can't wait to get off the phone to hit the send button to someone else. We need to pull back from that, because people become, in doing that, not that it's wrong to pass on information, but I think it's good to just to step back and give ourselves time to think about the content of what we heard. How will this affect the person that, if I send this message on, how will it affect the person that it's about, and so on? Are they being dissected? Are they being verbally dissected? Is it something that will if it gets back to them that, you know, the half the church is discussing this, is this something that will hurt relationships? So just to step back from that. I think secondly, the purpose is maximum profitability for the kingdom of God. The general purpose, one of the general purposes of teaching against being a busybody and for us to mind our own business, is so that we ourselves have maximum profitability for the kingdom of God. There's different scriptures that we read talked about being idle. One scripture said not working at all, which means there are things being left unattended in the individual's life. And so God wants us to be maximally profitable for him. Busybodies in other men's matters means we are not minding our own business. And when not minding our own business, there are personal things and better things being left unattended. I think this is a part of the concern, because it is given in that context in different of the scriptures that we looked at. That was general principle number one. Number two, I think a general principle along with this subject is folks come with varying degrees of forthrightness and privacy. And I believe in general, we should respect each person's wishes. One person will be more private in their life, and just the simplest thing they really don't want to share with people. They really don't want people to know about that. And I think that's okay. I think if we have a problem of being a busybody looking on, we should not think and judge that person. Wow, they must have something big to hide. Or I don't think we should go there. I think we should just simply respect each person's wish. Now, if you're close enough to see me, you'll notice there's a scratch here under my lip. There's a couple little scratches here along my nose, and there's scratches here on my fingers, and there's some bigger scratches on my arm. Now, if you ask me about that, I could say mind your own business. But you might want to know, I can tell you. The children might like this story. Yesterday, there's a calf I've been treating out in the pasture. They're in about a 40-acre pasture. I don't have a real good way to catch them, and he needed some treatment. I've been treating him since Monday, and I thought he needed one more treatment, but he's getting healthy enough that he's hard to catch. And so I was up yesterday. Lindsay was along with me, and I was looking at my opportunity. First, I found him, and then he saw us coming, and being that I'm working him and gave him several injections and so on, he's pretty wild now. He jumped up and took out across the pasture, and I was like, oh, wow. What am I going to do now? So he found the rest of the cows, and he was mingling around them, and I just kept watching for a while. And finally, he went. It's a little heifer. Went behind a tree. Its shoulders and neck and head behind a tree. About there, he's out from the tree about 5 feet. And I thought this might be my chance, but I guess I forgot I was 50 and not 25. And so I snuck up behind the tree, and then I just went for it, like surprise him. Because he's wild enough, he's about 2 weeks old. And of course he saw me coming, and I knew there was only one thing to do, and that was leap on him, which I did. And he mostly got through my fingers. Then last I did, after the flurry of activity stopped, I was holding both hind feet. He stretched out completely in front of me, and I'm stretched out in my bed. It's all downhill. I'm stretched out and holding a calf, looking at the most undesirable end of a calf. And the problem was, from the time where I attempted my grab of the calf to where he stopped, he partially drug me through a small mall for a rose bush. We got him. Now, depending what that story was, it could be embarrassing, and so I maybe wouldn't want to share it with you, but it doesn't matter. And you can tell your friends if you want to. But my point is, folks come with varying degrees of forthrightness and privacy, and I believe in general we should respect persons' wishes. There's great differences between persons in what they find disturbing or maybe horrifying and what their name is attached to in the budget. Maybe not only the budget, but there's just different levels. I believe everyone has something they hope very badly is not discussed in public or in a gossiping way. Not wrongdoing, just things we consider private. I've heard people say, I for one am an open book, or I have no secrets, only to know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I knew 100% there are things that they were keeping secret. I knew about them, but they weren't telling anybody else. Not wrong things, just private things. So I think we all have these areas. Such things as health, finances, relationship struggles, embarrassing mistakes, etc. We easily find another person's sensitivity for privacy ridiculous, often not realizing ours looks the same from their point of view. It's like, why would they keep that secret? I mean, but we have something else that bothers us that we just want it to be private. So I think we should, in general, respect each other in our wishes. You know what a person's wishes are, you know well enough, don't pry into it. Number three, general principles. Keep deep or private discussions voluntary or a two-way street. Voluntary means this means a person chooses on their own whether or not to share private information. Just let it up to them. If they share it, fine. If they don't, keeping these discussions a two-way street is like this. This happens when a discussion arises and each participant in turn opens the door a bit further until the subject is disclosed by mutual respect. You ever get into that? Never was expecting to share the amount of information you did about yourself or whatever it was, something you were considering was fairly private. But as you got into a subject and you realized this other person, sister to sister, brother to brother, whatever it was, and you started, somehow you landed on this conversation, and you realized you both had some, you were acquainted or had experience in the subject, and you both just kept cracking the door open a little bit, back and forth, until all of a sudden, boom, you're in this big room, and you're talking about it, and later you leave. It's like, well, how did we ever get there? But it was by mutual respect. And in those instances, it's an honorable thing. I mean, we feel respected, and we feel honored, and we don't feel vulnerable. It was a mutual understanding and a mutual respect one for another. So I think this to keep from being a busybody, these deep or private discussions should be either voluntarily or a two-way street. Now, thinking of the two-way street, the opposite is when it seems as though a person is circling us with a pry bar, prying at us from all angles in order to gain some new juicy new private information. And this is offensive. This can be offensive, I should say. It isn't always. Sometimes we come away laughing, like, that person was really trying to get it out of me. And it's not a good feeling. And going back to the thought we mentioned earlier, that God is concerned about good relationships, and this type of prying can be offensive and strain a relationship and cause a stir in a church that is just unnecessary. Number four, general principles. Roles of authority or responsibility at times require inquiry and unwanted help into situations. I think this is something we need to understand. Here's where it can be easily misunderstood that authority can be seen to be minding the business of others. In other words, there's parents to children, there's church leaders to members, there's husbands and wives, and there's roles of responsibility and roles of authority in each of those that differ and vary. But when you look at something like this in relation to busybody, it's easy to say to someone that's in authority that they have they're responsible for the people to say, oh, they're being busybodies. But there is responsibility that comes along with authority and roles of authority. And here is not a place to fire a warning shot like we did as children. Mind your own business. It's not a good time to do that. Children, don't say that to your parents, because your parents have a role. They have a role of authority. They have a role of responsibility. And so in that, there are times that your parents need to ask you questions that you don't want to answer. And ages vary. As children get older, we give them more of their decision making and more of their privacy. There is levels of that, but it still is right and it's still necessary that parents ask their children questions that they are reluctant to answer. It's just a part of teaching and guiding children. See, mind your own business, that term was never intended to be a weapon of self-defense. It wasn't intended for that. It was to bring peace to the church. It wasn't given to individuals as a weapon that they could defend themselves with it. It was never intended, this term, mind your own business, was never intended to be something we use to hide our problems. I want to speak about that side a little. In other words, if I am a person that I'm using this term, mind your own business, don't ask me those questions, and so on, and we're using that to hide deep, we're using it to hide problems that are going to lead us in a wrong direction, that is a very, very severe thing. That is a very, very, very bad thing. It was never intended for that. So hiding our problems versus wishing for some privacy should be two very different things. It should be two very different things. Authorities most often have some responsibility for spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being, along with the actions of those they are responsible for. However, even with places of authority, there are lines of privacy that we must consider. Just for example, thinking of authority that has responsibility, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul speaks to those who had sinned, and Paul says, if I come again, I will not spare. Paul was going to get involved when he came, and that was not meddling. It was not busybody. Being he was a leader in the church, he had a responsibility. He had a role of responsibility in the church. He needed to get involved. Because it was his business. He was minding his own business because of his role. Parents, when you ask your children questions, or some even school teachers to a level, not the same level as parents and so on, but any role of authority, there are things that you must get involved in for the benefit of those that are your, shall we call, subjects, or those you're responsible for. It is minding your business. At the same time, be careful, because it's easy to step over the line if we tend to be an authoritarian or someone that role really boosts our ego. So we have to be careful in that. Second part of the message, what about others? What about others is my business. And I'd like to talk about this mostly in the context of church community. So congregational life creates close relationships, very close relationships. This close relationship brings mutual accountability and responsibility. So number one, What about others is my business? It is minding our business to care and present an open door of help to our brothers and sisters. And presenting an open door of help is different than that word officious, where we are aggressive. What was that word they used there? It was objectionably aggressive. Being objectionably aggressive in offering our help is different than presenting an open door. It is different. It is letting someone know, I am here to help. I am here for you. You may be struggling, I don't know. I care about you, and if you ever want to talk, I'm praying for you. There's a way to do that, I believe, that is not objectionable or offensive, rather than jumping on the calf and letting it drag you through the briars. There is a way to do it. Number two, it is minding our business to break the confidence of another in an effort to save them. Yeah, you heard me right. I wasn't sure how to word that one. But keeping, you know what keeping confidence is? Someone shares something with you and says, don't tell anybody. And the large percentage of the time, we must honor that. But it is minding our business to break a confidence of another in an effort to save them. To save them. I have in mind, let's say young people are talking and one says to the other, I'm going to run away from home. Don't you dare tell anybody. What are you to do? You break a confidence. And you need to tell somebody. I would say the first step would be to implore the person to ask for help. Say, listen, you need to talk to your mom and dad or so on, or I'm going to tell somebody. You don't have to be sneaky about it. You can be super right up front and say, well, I'm going to tell somebody. Because you're going to save them. These are some of the difficulties. I've heard this over the course of my life. People get caught in this because someone told them not to tell anyone and so on, and yet it is something that is going to save them. Or say someone says something, maybe they're having suicidal thoughts or something, and tell someone, say, well, don't tell anybody. No, you break a confidence to save them. To save them. And do not take this point lightly. It's to save them. Whenever it's like, okay, because what you don't want to happen is 6 weeks down the road, did you hear that so-and-so committed suicide? And it comes back and say, well, yeah, they said something to me, but they told me not to tell anybody. Now, you break that confidence to save them. So I'm thinking of serious, it can even be serious physical needs. I mean, someone says, you know, don't tell anybody, but I got a tumor the size of a basketball on my back, that you would see it, right? But so some people are, for some reason, when it comes to even a serious physical ailment, are reluctant to tell and say, you know, don't tell anybody. I'm just sharing this with you because I'm worried about it. No, you implore the person, say, listen, ask for help. If you don't, I'm going to tell somebody. Because you're breaking a confidence to save them. Could be emotional needs. It could be dangerous relationships. It could be things of immoral nature. It could be things that it could be someone that is a victim of something of immoral nature. No, there's times you break the confidence to save them. And that is minding our business. And it goes back to the principle of being a Christian and looking out for the good of our Christian brothers and sisters. And this is to aid and help and save in that problem is the call. It's the greater thing. Number two, in relating to other people, what is my business in relating to other people? Looking out for the well-being of a Christian family is minding our own business. Some of these kind of overlap a little bit. But there's a little story in Acts chapter 6, 1. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Maybe this story doesn't fit exactly, but in some ways I feel it does. And so there was a problem over here that someone observed. And so people got to talking about that. They got to be busybodies, you could say, in what was, some people could say was not their business, but no, being Christians and in the church, they saw something that needed attention. And so they brought it to, I guess, the leaders of the church. And what came out of that? Seven deacons, because the widows were neglected and people were looking out for the well-being of the Christian family. The congregation. There's another one in Acts 18:26. The man Apollos said he was mighty in word and deed, I think it says. He's also eloquent, and he was teaching, but he knew only the baptism of John. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard it, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the God more perfectly. So they stepped outside of what we would consider their personal business, but being they were part of the church and they were Christians and like-minded and hearts were together, they said, here's a man that just needs a little more teaching. And so they brought him along. So they're looking out for the well-being of the family. So there are times when we speak to our brothers and sisters. The Bible talks about exhorting one another. It talks about being able also to admonish. And so there are times, because we are a group and because we are a brotherhood, it brings close relationships, that there is a certain amount of accountability and responsibility to each other, that we kindly and brotherly and sisterly reach out to those around us and try to give aid and look out for the well-being. And maybe it's a general observation we've made in the church, that, you know what, this church really needs this. Maybe it's not a personal thing, but it's a wider, and these are things, it's a part of our business. It is minding our business to demonstrate Christian living to all. And I'm thinking now not only of the church, but also to society around us. It is a part of our business to demonstrate Christian living and to invite all into the kingdom. Luke 14:23 says, and the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And you remember the story, the context of that story, where the good man of the house, or the Lord had prepared a feast, and he called in the people that he was associated with, those that were around him, and his house wasn't getting filled up. One said, I bought a pair of oxen. Another said, he can't come. And another said, well, I got married and I can't come. And I forget what the three or four things were there. And the Lord was disturbed. I forget what word he uses, but he was offended that people weren't coming. So he says to his servant, go out and compel them to come in, whoever you can find. And this is for us today as Christians, as we live in society, as we think about minding our own business, as we think about being a busybody in other men's matters. You say, well, you know, it's hard to talk to someone that needs the Lord, that sinful person in society that needs the Lord. It can feel like you're being a meddler. It can feel like you're being a busybody, but we have many scriptures that tells us that it is our business to spread the word of the Lord, to invite people into the kingdom. It is, as Christians, it is our business. It's minding our business to invite those into the kingdom, that the Lord's house may be filled. It is minding our own business to genuinely display the fruits of the Spirit. The world needs to see that. The church needs to see it. It's not just in the world. Don't put on your best behavior just in the world. Put on your best behavior for all peoples that you are around, your family included. Sometimes we say that our family gets the worst of us because we're spreading all our good out to everyone else. Well, that shouldn't be the case. I understand the statement. And, you know, sometimes we're more comfortable at home, so we have to work on that we're not frowning and sharp with the people that are around us. Remember, self is the biggest job you've got. This is undermining our own businesses to demonstrate Christian living to all. Remember, self is the biggest job you've got. Spend lots of time on it. That's a challenge for me. Spend lots of time on it. And this is in relation to sometimes I've heard of ministers and ordained brothers. They're so busy, probably not busy bodies as far as in other men's matters where they shouldn't be, but they're available to everyone, but not available to their own families. So remember, self is the biggest job you've got. Spend lots of time on it. And it's just, as I think, think back on some of the scriptures we read where it says those, there were some that were working not at all, and that gave them time to be out meddling. And the other one was about the younger widows. It said that they learned to be idle, and being idle gave them time to be meddling in other people's business. And so there's something about being busy in the things that were designated for us, and also, like we said, included in that is our roles of responsibility. There are things that are ours to do that may look like to some people are not. But let's mind our own business, because it is for the peace of the church, it's for the good of relationships, and it's for the maximum profitability from our life to God. The one thing I would offer yet is think about the golden rule. As you would that men should do unto you, do ye likewise. There's things that you don't want talked about. There's things you don't want people prying into your life about. Again, not wrong things, just things that you consider private. Well, think about that from the other aspect. Other people, and let's respect one another in this subject. Shall we pray?